Blog Talk Radio.
Christ, amen. All right.
year. Give me a second here. The music's acting up. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Just give me a second here. I don't know what's going on with it. Technical issues. Well, that's okay. It'll be over in a minute here. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, it's titled, Is it a Sin to Doubt? Okay? And then from a series called Curious. We're going to take this from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Who am I? I was born in Germany in 1879 and did not begin speaking until around age 4. At age 5, my father gave me a pocket compass that kept a bit of my mind stirring in me a curiosity for all things math and physics. Throughout my life, I was known for my work in relativity, thermodynamics, and quantum physics. And I was even asked to be the president of Israel. I am famous for my many profound quips, including, we cannot solve our problems with the same thing we used when we created them. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. Only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former. The difference between stupidity and genius is genius has limits. Who am I? The answer, I am Albert Einstein. Now let me share one of my favorite Einstein quotes. I have no special talent. I'm only passionately curious. To be curious is to have the urge to explore, to know, and to learn something new. It is inquisitive about life. Curiosity is one of life's greatest pure motivators. A few weeks ago, we began looking into a few of our curious questions pertaining to faith, religion, and culture. So far, we've looked at the question of God's existence, and is Jesus the only way to God? Today, I want to answer the question, is it a sin to have doubt? Now, I'm not sure who asked the question, but let me make this simple, and then go back and explain. No. Having doubt is not a sin. Yet, what a person does with their doubt will either lead to belief or unbelief. To be sure, doubt is not just a Christian problem, it's a human problem. We've all had doubts at some point in time because in the absence of certainty by nature, it's nearly impossible not to have questions. Why? Because doubt is part of the human condition. Now, faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted. In spite of your changing moods, for moods will change whatever view your reason takes. I know that by experience. Now that I'm a Christian, I have moods in which the whole thing looks very improbable. But when I was an atheist, I had moods in which Christianity looked terrible and probable. Okay, this is a rebellion of your moods against your real self. It's going to come anyway. That is why faith is such a necessary virtue unless you teach your moods where they get off. You can never be either a sound Christian or even a sound atheist, but just a creature dithering to and from with its beliefs really dependent on the weather and the state of its digestion. So doubt is seen throughout the Bible with Adam and Eve, Abe, Moses, David, and many more who struggled with the moments of uncertainty. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, a few disciples had doubts when they met Jesus. After the resurrection, of course, there was one disciple who said he wouldn't believe until he touched the holes in Jesus' hand. We know him as Doubting Thomas. So, point, if you had doubts, you're not the first person, nor will you be the last to ever have them. Reality is, if someone says, I've never had doubts, more than likely, that's not a testimony of deep faith, but a shallow, superficial faith, because wrestling with doubt is what builds our faith muscles. And searching we grow stronger in our faith, God allows us to struggle with doubt to ignite our passion for him. So we don't have fear. Doubt, if we engage, use it. I don't believe there has ever existed a Christian yet who did not know and then doubt his interest in Jesus. I think when a man says, I never doubt, it's quite time for us to begin doubting him. Personally, I believe doubt can be a blessing because it tells a person they're finally ready to make an honest effort to discover if something is really true or not. Doubt screams a commitment to truth. So doubt doesn't scare me because I'm confident if a person truly committed to finding truth, they'll eventually find their way to Jesus because he's the embodiment of truth. At least That's what it did for people like C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, Francis Schaeffer, Charles Schulz, Genesis, Francis Collins, and many more. Okay? More times than not, when God moves a person to search, their searching leads them to Jesus. God is not the enemy unless we're lazy and doubt. Then it becomes a milestone around our soul leading our demise, because instead of being inspired to seek the truth, we allow ourselves to set adrift on a sea of ambiguity and relativity. So doubt, to be in two minds or to have divided mind, doubt is to be caught with, between questions or belief or unbelief, and certainty and uncertainty. So meaning in the world with uncertainty, everyone struggles with doubt. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, an atheist, or something else. We all have questions. So practically speaking, to doubt means to waver or facilitate with uncertainty as we struggle with our faith. Maybe this is why St. Augustine said doubt is but another element of faith. Truth, doubt has been around since creation. We see in Adam and Eve the potential for doubt. So if Adam and Eve had to struggle with doubt in paradise, how much more are we going to struggle with doubt in paradise lost? The distinctives of doubt. So what are we to do with doubt? What are some key truths about doubt we need to understand? I have three. Difficulty can often foster doubt. There's nothing that can take our faith from sizzling to fizzling like difficult moments. Who hasn't asked God, where are you, when life throws a curveball? By the way, God's best pitch is the curveball. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed to the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, such as a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. James was explaining that God allows and sometimes alters challenge moments to stretch, strengthen, or to bring us into alignment with his purpose will. So God is using difficulty to bring us into absolute dependence upon him for our good and his glory. Isn't that what happened to Joseph? Remember his story? God allowed Joseph to be falsely accused in the prison so that Israel could be rescued from famine. Yet, I'm certain Joe thought, why me, God? Where are you? What did I do to deserve this? We learn from his life that God is working in us, on us, and through us, whatever ahead of us is for his will plan. Neither Joseph, Pharaoh, nor Israel were ready for what was ahead. So God had to humble Joseph, break Egypt, and prepare Israel through a time of sifting. Excuse me. In times of difficulty, doubt is like challenge to us, but it doesn't have to destroy us. You see, if we see that God is in it to grow in us, okay, and prepare us for his purpose, doubt can be fueled by faulty expectations. More often than not, when God doesn't act or show up in the way we think he should, our faith can be shaken. When God doesn't heal a loved one this side of heaven, even though we asked, when our hopes, dreams for opportunity in life don't occur, even though we prayed, when someone else gets our break or we get a setback, although we laid it at his feet, or when God isn't the God we thought he'd be in time of our need, we can often experience a faith quake. Isn't that what happened to Habakkuk? When Israel was far from God, he called out to God for help. He thought God would show up and gently deal with Israel, causing them to return to him. Instead, God moved differently. God sent the pagan Babylon to deal with his people. And Habakkuk was like, God, have you lost your mind? You're going to use a godless nation to deal with our ungodliness? Don't you think that's a little extreme? Listen to Habakkuk. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Cry out to you, violence, but you don't save. Without a doubt, Habakkuk's frustration had hit code red. He couldn't figure out why God was silent and hadn't engaged Israel. So he gets blunt with God and says, "Say, I know you're not dead, but are you deaf? Have you ever asked a question of God?" Habakkuk was looking at his country and said, "God, we're messed up. Our families are messed up. Truth, justice are upside down. Why are you not stepping in and making it right?" Sound familiar? Don't miss Habakkuk has hit on a problem we all face with God. I know you can say, "So why aren't you?" You say, you will sow, why haven't you? It's because he's sovereign, omnipotent, holy, gracious God who sees beyond our circumstances, issues, wants, and desires to plan that this is greater and beyond us. And even though it may stir doubt within us, God will not abdicate his responsibility as God to satisfy our doubts and frustrations. He will not set aside his will for you or for humanity, but will instead let you wrestle with what you might not fully understand or appreciate. So don't ever judge God by what you think you would do if you were God, because you're not God. There will be times in our lives that God is not going to be who we want or think he should be, but that doesn't make him any less God. Never let your faulty expectations of God sabotage your faith through doubt. Unconfessed sin multiplies doubt. There's nothing that causes a person to doubt the goodness, grace of God and their salvation more than unconfessed sin. Sin is a great separator, divider. Personally, the times in my life when I have struggled most with the certainty of my salvation have been when I have lived in a season of sin. The same was true in the lives of King Saul and David, yet they each had different response to doubt. For Saul, because he was lazy and prideful in his doubt, he turned from God to the way that seemed right to himself. But for David, after his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, when he was confronted with his doubt and faith and turning to God instead of from God. The solution to doubt as a result of sin is concise. The solution to confession is in repentance. So if you confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So personally, I appreciate seeing scriptures, David's repentance during his season of doubt in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Which brings us to our last truth, and it's a big one. Our doubt doesn't distress God. You see, Jesus can handle our doubt. God isn't irritated, frustrated, or exasperated by our struggles with doubt in times of uncertainty because he knows there are tools to call us off to seek and find him. In Matthew chapter 11, we see how Jesus responded to John the Baptist. Jesus knew John was baptized by John, yet at a defining moment in John's life, when he was in prison and facing death, doubt crept into his mind, so he sent a few of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was truly the Messiah. After Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he went on from there to teach in the towns of Galilee. When John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are the king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is one about whom it is written. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than Matthew, than he. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Does Jesus' response say he was put off or frustrated with John's moment of uncertainty? Absolutely not. And neither is God put off when you have questions or moments of doubt. Because God knows this is just part of the human condition. And so long as it moves you to seek the truth, doubt is not an enemy but a friend. I like the way a former evolutionist, now creationist, Gary Parker explains the blessing of doubt. If faith never encounters doubt and truth never struggles with error, if good never battles with evil, how can faith know its own power? In my pilgrimage, if I have to choose between a faith that has stared doubt in the eye and made it blink or a naive faith that has never known the powering line of doubt, I'll choose the former. So doubt, no, it's not a sin. But if we were lazy in doubt, it'll likely lead us down a road of no return where our apathy to truth will leave us vulnerable to the trappings and misteachings of our world. But if our doubt moves us, it will more likely set us on a course of discovery that will identify and fortify our faith. Amen. But this now leads us to the question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this road, this long, dusty road? I've never known which way to go, which way is up or down. Or maybe you lack something, and you need something in your life, your purpose. Or maybe you suffer from anxiety or depression. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever it may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, he's got to know you. If he does not know you, he can't do nothing for you. So the question tonight is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word, in Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from this dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? If so, please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the one key, you come on live and tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you said this prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay, well, let's take some callers here. Okay, 720.
Hey, Paul, Ken, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Oh, dealing with the heat out here, man. Hey, I was listening to some of your past shows today with Pastor Kent. And I don't know. I think you guys should rekindle and, you know, let bygones be bygones. What would that take for that to happen? To do a show with Kent.
I to tell you the truth, I really don't know. Okay.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. You guys had, I don't know, the flair you used to have used to be like, I mean, you still are a host, but like I was saying earlier, man, you used to have this energy about you. Like someone would say something, then you would question it and delve deeper into it. And I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of like you kind of kick back now. What could get that flair going for you? Because that was the Kent I love. Or Ken, sorry, I didn't mean to call you Kent.
Well, like I said, it's just me now, okay, and Tony, okay. Back then I had quite a table of people on my service, okay?
Yeah.
So we could throw around questions.
Why don't you pose a question to the callers and kind of have them chime in, you know, like a subject, you know what I mean? Like a talking
point. I've
done that,
but they never really answer any of the questions. All you want to do is play noises, okay?
Well, you got to take the callers, you know? But not all the 111s are bad. Like Peter Paul, I think he's a good caller.
Yeah, he's a good caller.
You know? But, hey, who are you rooting for in the NBA Finals, Ken?
I'm not rooting for anybody.
Did you not like basketball?
No, not really. I'm
or is it
because
San Antonio's not in it?
No. I'm more football.
Who do you go for football?
Well, I myself personally, I like the Giants.
You like the Giants? Ken! Why? You lost me.
I know.
I'm an Eagles fan. We're mortal enemies now. No, I'm joking. But nah, man. Hey, how do you think you're gonna fare out this year? Pretty good, or?
I really don't know. They got a chance. Just like everybody
else. You like them when they had Bill Parcells, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Parcells is an awesome coach. So I'm going to my first concert this coming up weekend since the lockdown. Going to see Steel Panther. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
You like them, or?
They're all right.
Yeah, it, you know, if I send you a private message with a song, can you play it? At the end of the show, at the end of the show, you know, I know you guys.
If I have the music, play it.
I'll send you the song. Just YouTube it and play it over the air, like, you know, you do everything else. But is there any other callers online?
Yes, there is. Matter of fact.
Can I just chill on the air? You know, maybe chime in, say what's up to whoever's on the line.
Sure. Sure.
All right, thanks, Ken.
Hey, let me take this 547. 547, you're on the air.
Hello there. Hello there, this is Brother Mark. And to that last caller, I saw Steel Panther 2 years ago, best show ever.
Oh, yeah, always. I'm this will be number two for me, seeing them live.
Great.
How you doing, Brother Mark?
I'm doing great. I wanted to ask Ken, you did bring up football, so I thought it's only fair I brought up MMA. Ken, who do you have winning this weekend's main event?
To say the truth, I don't know. Okay? I like Rigo against Moran.
Ken, didn't you used to do boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, Figueiredo.
Figueiredo. Okay. I saw his last against Moran. Okay. And it's going to be a second fight. This one coming up. June 12th.
Yeah, it's a rematch.
Yeah, because the first one ended in a draw.
That's awesome.
Are you putting any money down on that co-main event?
No, I haven't put any money down. I don't bet.
Oh.
Ken, did you watch the...
Oh, you sound like you know your sports.
Ken, did you watch the Logan versus Mayweather?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that was a hug fest, man. It was a draw. But yeah, it was a hug fest. All Logan kept on doing was hugging Mayweather, putting all his weight on him. There's even a part where he looked like he got knocked out, but anyway.
Hey, Pastor, are you rooting for the skinny boy, Adesanya?
The gender bender?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him fight.
He's the tall black.
Yeah, he's in the main event. You should. Are you not watching Embedded?
No, I'm not paying for pay-per-view this weekend.
No, Embedded's free. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, so you stream the?
Oh, you stream it illegally. Are you on Discord? Are you streaming it on Discord or one of those? You talking about those pirated links?
Ken, if you jump in the Discord this weekend, I'll stream it for you.
Okay. All right.
Even live commentary.
Okay. I didn't know about them. Okay.
Here.
Ken, I need to call out somebody. I needed to call out Brother Nick. If you're listening, you and Brother Wavy are complete fucking faggots. So is that Jew fucker Raheem. Brother Nick is a fraud and donation thief.
Oh.
Also, fuck you, fake Brother Mark and fake Brother Ed.
Okay. Anybody else?
Brother Nick, you're going down.
Is Johnny on the line?
I don't know. I got some 111s. Let me go take some 111s.
Go ahead and keep us all on the line.
Yep. Okay, another one. 111.
Yep, you're on the air.
You're on the air, 111. Oh, yeah, he hung up. 727.
What?
727, you're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How's it going? This is Brother Richard.
So nice to finally talk to you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you doing?
Well, how you doing, Brother Richard?
Yeah, my name is Richard, too. Listen, yeah, I just wanted to call because I just recently had a sort of, I guess you'd call it a religious epiphany, you see? You see what I'm saying? You see, I chaperone a youth group, and I recently took them to the Holocaust Museum here in my local town. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, where are the graves from the Holocaust?
Richard?
There's no graves. You know, and then I started thinking a little more. I thought, you know, if anybody could pull off a stunt, you know, like faking a stunt like this, like the Holocaust, it would be the people who control the media. You know?
Well, I don't know. There was mass graves, okay.
Well, where are they? Where are they at?
Well, that's a discussion for this show.
I don't know, okay. But anyway, this is not a discussion for this show.
I asked the lady at the nice lady at the museum. I asked her, and she didn't know either, you know. But I will agree that hey, Steel Panthers is a solid band. Steel Panthers is a solid band. Eating ain't cheating.
Hey,
solid
Steel
track.
Panthers is awesome. Awesome. Awesome band. Awesome band.
That's a solid
I recommend
track,
it to everybody.
Man. That's a solid track.
Yes, sir.
Eating ain't cheating.
Hello,
got,
Richard?
What else they got? Yes?
Can you hear me, Richard?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if I was still on the show. You're on the air, Richard. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I'd really like to get the host's take on what I was saying. You know, like where are the graves and, you know, the fact that the Jews control the media so they could probably fake the whole fucking Holocaust, you know?
Yeah, well, this is something that my show really gets into. Okay, that's more political. Okay,
it's not really
okay,
political; it's more historical. I'd call it.
Well, historical, political. Okay.
The fact that there's all these dead people, but we can't find any of them. Like what? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, man. I don't think it happened, man.
Yeah. Oh, that guy Richard, he sounds like someone that gets beat up by girls. Like his girlfriend or something.
Hey, that only happened like twice, man.
That only happened like twice. Okay. Well, let me go take another caller here. Let's take number 830.
Oh, just keep us on.
Oh,
who do you have?
Hey, Richard, do you think the crowd will have an effect on the fights this weekend?
So, I'm sorry, you cut out there. Please ask that again.
Do you think the crowd will have an effect on the fights this weekend?
My ass. Tony Daga.
I don't know what that means.
Fuck my ass. Tony Daga. Yeah.
Richard, is that your music?
Tony Daga.
Hey, Tim, who do you have winning UFC 300 main event?
Fuck my ass. Tony Daga. Yeah. Tony Daga. Fuck my ass. Tony Daga. Yeah. Tony Daga. Fuck my ass. Tony Daga. Yeah. Tony Daga.
Who is that?
Fuck my ass. Tony Daga. Yeah.
I don't know.
Tony Daga. Fuck my ass. Tony Daga, yeah, Tony Daga, fuck my ass. Tony Daga, yeah, Tony Daga.
Okay. All right. I figured out who
Ken,
that was.
Doug. Ken, I think that was Doug.
No, it wasn't Doug.
Who was it?
I don't know. Okay, but I got rid of it. Here, let's bring on Doug. Hey, Doug,
buddy.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
What's up,
I'm
BT
doing
Buzzy?
Fine, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just listening to the show, and, you know.
Hey, Doug, did you get my call? I mean, Mike, did you get my call?
Who's talking to me here?
This is Paulie.
Oh, Paulie. I'm Paulie.
No, you're not
Paulie.
You can't
be Paulie. Yeah, I'm Paulie. So, yeah, can't hear what you got to say. Sorry. I'm Paulie. I don't talk to myself that way.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think you're retarded. But
Ken,
you got any other callers? See, he's moaning, man. Special needs. Short bus.
Oh, what's, I'm not a normal troll like you.
I'm not trolling. I talk to Ken all the time. I even bought the man a camera. I don't know what you're talking about, troll.
Ken,
how long have I been listening to you? Since like 2017? I've always been cool to you.
Yeah, before that, actually, 2016.
Yeah, exactly. Doug, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, Mike Miles or whatever your name is.
No, I'm Paulie. I'm Paulie. Sorry.
No, you're retarded.
Okay, Doug.
Oh, come on. You're going to call me retarded and laugh at me now.
No,
he's not laughing at you. He's laughing with you. Don't worry. Sorry, we don't want you triggered.
Okay?
We don't want you drooling on yourself.
Triggered. No, come on.
Maybe it's not drool. I don't know.
What?
Ken's even laughing.
What? Yeah. Okay. What else you got to say?
Ken, let's bring on another caller.
Yeah,
let's bring on another
caller.
How about
111?
Oh, yeah. Okay, great call.
Richard Hopper.
Doug's no fun if he ain't dropping F-bombs and shit, right? Oh, sorry.
You're talking to yourself, bro.
Let's try 503.
Yeah. This will be a good one.
Hello, 503, you're on the air. Hello?
I'd like to make
excellent.
A request to listeners.
Call.
Peter
excellent
Paul, if you're
call
out there, please call in. Doug
excellent
needs your help.
Hello?
ASAP.
Paulie.
Hello?
Hello, Paulie, is this you?
No, this is the fucking, you stupid prick. The fuckings, that's right.
A stupid prick. Oh, wow.
That's right.
That sounds
stupid
so manly.
Man.
Oh, you little
yeah,
stupid prick.
Fuck.
Oh, you're so manly. Talking your little not too manly talk. Oh,
so
you little,
so
little
talking back, man. Dude, just sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down.
How about a sledgehammer?
Sit down, Mike Miles.
You
sit
down.
Down.
Huh? What about a sledgehammer?
My name is
not like
Dick.
A little stupid prick.
Not like the stupid prick. I ride the short bus.
I'll arm wrestle you. Sound like you've got a weak grip.
Hey, what are you talking about? He has hairy palms. Watch out.
Yeah, but he sounds like he has a fat neck.
Oh, he definitely does. There's a picture of him in the chat room.
Do you guys have a book of like Bazooka
wow
Joe cartoons or something.
Hey, Doug, when's the last
your
time
jokes
you seen your
are
dick?
Like, it's almost like a clown show, you know? Are you,
no,
she's really
no,
big
no. You came
you
here
have,
attacking
like,
everybody. You came
things
in here attacking everybody. Get back on your
I'll
short bus. Go back to your
I
bottle.
Hey,
quit
hey,
calling
you
your kids and get off
shut
the phone, Doug. Mike,
shut the fuck up
don't
and listen.
Give me this shit about my kids. That shit's all not true.
You
that's
guys
right
are
yeah
watching his
kids.
He's a chomo, just like Pastor
no
Ken.
No, I'm not.
You touch your kids, you
shit
sick fuck.
Anyone that accuses me of that is a fucking sick fuck.
Because I don't
Why?
Do that.
Because you sound
bitch.
Like it. You sound like it. You sound
oh,
like it,
fuck
dog.
You. You just want to get me going off.
Goddamn it.
Like a little,
I'm not trying to get you off, you
boy.
Sick fuck.
You're running down.
Ken,
you
he, Ken he's talking sexuality. I don't like this. I don't like this.
What is going on in here? Pipe down.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's better.
All right.
Yeah.
So, hey, new caller. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm looking for the fuck.
You're looking for the what?
Yeah, hang on. Here. Brother.
Stalin Jr. The fuckings. The fuckings.
Uh-oh. Did you hear that, old man?
Who are you talking to?
You.
Lord Jesus.
You.
I'm up here on Mount Kilimanjaro, so.
Yeah, you know, touching your kids, yeah. You sick fuck.
I do
you're
not
stupid.
Do that, you sorry son of a bitch. Man.
Quit
hitting
your
you
kids, Doug.
Accuse someone to do something like that.
Because,
why would you accuse
drunk?
Someone of that?
You're a drunk. Huh? You're a drunk.
That doesn't mean you fucking diddle your kids, you dumbass.
You diddle your kids. I don't have kids to diddle, so fuck you, Doug.
Yeah, because you don't want to continue your friggin' human race.
So you're saying you diddle your kids to keep the human race going. Okay. We heard it all, everybody. Ken, I don't know, man. That's
okay,
pretty good.
That's
he just
wow,
admitted
you're
he
so smart. But that's not what I said at all.
I don't know. Hey, caller,
come
is that
on.
What he said? He diddles his kid. Keep
what?
The human race
what?
Going.
Fuck
or two.
Yeah, this is Stalin, the old man.
Who?
Yeah, I put my hearing aids in.
Okay. Yeah,
what
I
the fuck
take mine out. I take my... You sound like a fucking asshole, okay? That's all I got to say right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well...
You're a troll asshole, and
no,
I can go with the best of them.
I am the
asshole boy.
You go diddle your kids,
Dougie.
You
got your skinny jeans
Mike Miles,
on,
you
huh?
Chomo.
You gonna, what, are you going to come down and get me?
Nah, I ain't going to come down and get you. I'll call DHS on your ass and watch them take your kids away. For diddling them.
Kids, you stupid fuck.
I got your address.
You
I got your
man?
Name, Doug.
Mike
Miles.
Yeah. I got my address and my name, too.
Yeah. Wait till DHS knocks at your door, buddy.
Yep.
Especially how your comment about keeping the human race going, I don't know, man, with your kids. That's like some Lake Okeechobee stuff right there. That's Florida shit. Are you sure you're not from West Virginia?
How come you're breathing so hard, man?
He has COPD.
Yeah, I have COPD.
Man, what a mess.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Did Doug hang up?
Well, cough
no.
up a lung. Hurry up.
Any other callers, Ken?
Yeah, we
love. I love to talk to Peter Paul, man. I haven't heard from him or Joseph Gibson. He hasn't called in a while. Did you hear Mandela Khan died?
Called in a while. Yeah.
You knew about
right,
Mandela Khan dying?
Hello, can you hear me? Is it my turn?
727,
yes,
you're on the air.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I've been listening for a while. Oh my gosh, some of those callers are quite rude.
Yes, they're making the host look like a real son of a bitch.
Well, he's not. He's a commendable man, and he's a true respect. Do you understand? Yeah. Anyway, I was wanting to talk about a real bad experience I had at a Starbucks up here in Queens.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Queens. You know what? Yeah, I had a really bad experience. Yeah, normally, you know, I go into Starbucks and I get my coffee, you know, and then, you know, it's normally about $2.50, and you can just pay with the tip jar. Yeah, I just reach into the tip jar and I just pay for it with that, with the tip money, because you're allowed to do that. I'm allowed to do that here in Queens. But today, I just wanted to go into the bath. I just wanted to use the bathroom. I wasn't even going to buy a coffee. So I walk in and I wait in line, you know, and I walk up to the man, you know, the barista, if you will. And I walk up to him and I say, excuse me, sir, could you point me to the place where I can use my pussy? Because I'm gender, I don't want to, you know, it's, you know, with the genders nowadays, it's all crazy. And he looks at me and he goes, excuse me? And I say, what? Sir, don't assume my gender. That's basically rape. That's a form of rape, you know? And this is what he says to me. He looks me straight in the eye. And he says this, sir, I just didn't understand exactly what you were saying. And I told him, I call it my pussy, you know, I have a penis, you know, but it doesn't feel like a penis for me. It feels, you know, it's squishy. It feels, you know, I don't know. I just like to call it my pussy. I feel more comfortable like that. I call it my pussy. And, anyway, he got the message, and he just pointed to the door that was 4 feet away from me. And I said, thank you.
That just a glass shake just for you.
And I went and used the pussy room and went, you know, and it was all totally fine. And then I went back, you know, to work at my father's you know, in my grandfather's diamond shop where we sell blood diamonds on the, you know, where we get them from the, you know, off the backs of Uyghur children in China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're slave children. They're Uyghurs. Nobody cares about them. It's easy. It's cheap.
Ken, there's an 858 trying to call in. I think it may be
your
fault.
You know,
that's
the thing about the Holocaust. That's why Jews are so mad about the Holocaust. They always say, oh, Jews are so mad about the Holocaust. It's not because we all died. It's just, it was too expensive.
Ken, did you hear me? 858,
yeah,
I think it may be your fault.
9-2-1.
858.
What was that? 2-9-11-5.
No, I'm sorry. This is Randy. Randy Anderson. I was wondering if I could have, you know, I'm really close with Doug. We talk on the phone all the time. He's a great guy. He just has a lot of problems right now, and I don't appreciate everybody, you know, jumping on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is Doug still on the line?
Yeah, I can bring him back on. Okay,
There he is, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Hi,
Doug. Randy. It'd be great if you could help the situation. I'm an Italian guy now. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, Doug.
What
Doug,
are you
okay?
Who do you know?
Hey,
who do you blow? Oh yeah.
Okay, you can just mute him. I can tell
do
by his
eat
by his voice. He's severely
you do you eat? No, I'm not. No, I'm a comedian.
I need you
Come
to
on.
Chill. Don't. You need to put down the bottle right now. I'm not kidding. If what
I
you're doing
no
right
bottle.
Now is what I think you're doing.
Hell yeah.
Put it down, Doug. You can't just go off. I mean, you have to worry. You have a court date here next week. I mean, how the hell are you going to show up to court drunk again?
I'll just send my boss.
I mean, do you
want to
lose those children? I mean, is that what you're trying
not,
to do?
It's not going to look good for your probation officer, Doug.
No, it's not.
Stupid. Stupid.
Wow. I'm sorry. Was there a gentleman on the line that has Doug's address? So I'd like to, Doug, if it's okay, I'd like to go hang out with you.
Okay.
All right. So is that okay? Can that
gentleman,
hold on,
guys.
Let me
grab a pen.
Yeah. Are you giving him permission to?
You're gonna give
are you giving him
my
permission
address?
To give?
No,
yeah,
okay.
No, no, no. I'm not
right. Yes,
threatening.
I am.
Don't worry.
Because I
right
dare
I
any
right.
of you
hey, Randy,
dumbass motherfuckers to come up here and see what happens.
Wait. I'm trying
to
hear it.
Because something's going to really bad happen to you. Do you understand me? It's going to be bad.
Come on, 1-209-51,
go ahead.
Route 36, Brookfield, PA, 158.
15825.
Okay. Wow, that's totally not my address, you dumb motherfucker.
Hey,
you heard
Doug,
guys
Doug,
say that before?
Doug,
you dumb
Doug,
motherfucker.
I'll tell you what happened.
Don't call
I'll
me again.
I'll tell you what happened. Doug,
address.
I apologize. Listen, I apologize, but we have to get the Child Protective Services involved after the you've
yes,
been allegedly
bring
diddling
them down.
Your children.
Bring them down.
Yeah, you can't be diddling your children, man. That ain't right.
Well, Doug, diddling's wrong. Yeah. Is one thing you should know about me. I'm a
okay. Let me tell you
raging anti-Semite.
You should know.
Okay, how do you feel about
I don't have
diddlers.
No children. I don't
oh
have
my God.
No children.
You
don't have
you
hurt
those?
You feel
you've killed, have you killed those children? Oh my
not
God!
Not buried in plastic bags,
Doug. Oh, my God. He just admitted on air that he murdered his children.
Not a deal breaker for me. I'll still come over and, you know.
See what oh, my
and
God.
I
that's
buried
incredible.
Them in plastic bags.
Oh, my God.
Fuck
bitches.
I would speak to a lawyer before you say anything else.
Well, here is what is a deal breaker. Did you use the Ziploc? What kind of the gallon with the Ziploc bags with the zipper or the...
Oh, my God, how would that matter? He said he
squeezed.
Just killed the kids.
Oh,
I mean, but for me to answer that,
what a matter of character.
No,
okay,
there was the bags. They were
I'll
the bags
it.
From
shut
the
up,
liquor
Doug.
Store.
Doug, he wasn't done
they
to
were liquor
the question.
Store
can you
bags.
Shut up? Go ahead.
You know, the plastic bag you get from the liquor store? Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
They never leak, so that's
pass,
what they
pass,
use.
Pass.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They always leak, I know, because I use them all the time. Yeah, I'm not coming over.
Ken, how do you feel
yeah,
about
that's kind of
yeah, I use them for my rubber.
Doug,
you know
Doug,
I mean?
Somebody else is trying to speak, if you don't mind, real quick.
Because I have such a big dick
Doug,
that I need
Doug.
To use plastic bags for rubbers. How's that?
Is that what you use
you
for
like
your
that?
Children? Is that what you're saying?
Bitch.
Oh, my God.
What?
Because
you say?
Your penis is so small.
I didn't say I
you
killed my children.
Hey, Ken,
yes,
you
did. You're
that's
a sick
the worst
man.
Thing I've ever heard.
If I killed my children, then
thing.
How
I've
are they
never heard such a
still
horrible
alive,
thing on Blog Talk.
You
are
retard.
An animal, Doug. You're an animal, Doug.
Doug.
We're going to have to try to have a police
your
trace where you live.
Doug.
Rich, I don't know what kind of show you're running here, but you need to get taken control
hey,
of this.
Hey, listen to this. I killed my children, but they're still alive.
And
you
get it?
Him. You fucking retard. You get it?
Oh, my God. He just said he killed his children. And essentially, he has their corpses
but
on the couch.
Still alive.
I had nothing
in your
to
mind,
do
yes. We understand. You're a sick man. But, yeah, once you kill somebody, yeah, they don't
woman.
Come back.
I
was trying to get a word in real quick. Quiet, Doug.
Yeah, it's a hard
Ken,
no,
how
Doug.
Do you feel,
it's a hard
Ken,
no
how do you feel
back.
About kid dealers?
I'm not very fond of chomos.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, what would you do if you met a chomo? Would you be like Clay Douglas, drag him on the back of the Harley for about a half a mile?
Is that where you killed your kids because you raised a bunch of chomos?
I mean,
just to clarify,
you know,
1-2-9.
That's not showing,
you guys,
but,
just to clarify real quick.
Love there.
Just to clarify, 12951 Route 36.
Route 36. Yep.
Route 36, and that's in Brookville, PA?
Correct.
Okay, so that's 12951, correct?
12951, sir.
92951. Okay, yep, it's Route 36. I get it. All right.
Now,
and
you got it wrong. 12951.
12951, Route 36, Brooksville, PA. I got it this time. Doug, did you get that, Doug? Oh, he hung up. He usually does that when he's really nervous. So you guys have to forgive him.
Me.
He's,
okay. Well,
you know, a lot of things are going on in his life right now. He's been accused of diddling his children. You know, he has a bunch of people that are most likely going to show up to his house and assault him. I hope not. But I do hope that the police arrive and investigate these allegations of him murdering his children.
And then diddling them.
And then diddling.
I only did it once. Can you hear me?
So what we need to do.
He did it once.
I only did it one time.
Okay. Yeah, we are going to have to contact law enforcement.
Yes.
Kenny, are you okay with this?
Kenny,
are you okay with having a diddler on air?
Hello. This is Pennsylvania Sheriff's Office. Detective Division, what can I help you guys with?
Kenneth?
Hey, well, you know, hey.
He just
it
said
was
he diddled
the diddler.
Children.
We need help.
Well, sir, if you diddled your kids, then we're going to have to come out there and, under Pennsylvania law, we're going to have to come out there and diddle you.
Hard.
Please do.
All right.
I've had
sir.
No action
well,
in a long time.
All right. We'll be there in about 15 to 30 minutes. Please assume the
no
position
in a while.
If you wish to cooperate.
They put your golden retriever down.
If you wish to cooperate,
yeah,
sir,
I know.
Just wait 15 to 30 minutes. We'll be
he
out there to assume the position in your front lawn. Go out front and assume the position, please.
Okay.
Sir,
when?
We really appreciate if you just cooperate.
Did it bite you? Because Pastor Ken, a long time ago, said swat it with a newspaper.
I don't
when
know.
Your dog
you guys
acts
seem pretty
up.
Serious.
Yeah, you got to use a wet newspaper.
Sir,
a real,
go outside
that makes a
position. If
that
not,
really
we will
pisses
be forced
a
to
wet
new dog.
Doug, I got to ask you. Doug,
we
let me
will
chime
be forced
in
forced to
quick.
Release the dogs.
Hey,
they
Mr.
will
Bill
not
Ridger
molest you as
Diddler.
Family, as our officers.
Whoa, that's a good name, Mr. Belligerent Diddler. Yes, I'm going to make a YouTube channel, and I'm going to get rich, and you guys are going to laugh. And say,
hey, are
that motherfucker's rich.
On your YouTube
sir,
channel?
Please don't make me do this. Come out and assume the position.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
And we won't have to release the dog, the molesting dog.
Uniforms are in soon.
Yeah, I don't know who these trolls are, but they're
here.
Not good.
I'm ready to get down to the very last bit of the show. I want to say thank you, everybody. God bless you all for calling in. And everybody in the chat room, God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Please come out and assume the position so we do not have to release our
amen,
specially
I'm sorry,
trained.
Hey,
sir,
so
quit
ungodly.
Touching your daughters.
Stop
you
don't want to release the molesting dog.
I don't have any daughters.
You're lying.
Midget
Miles.
Brain boy.
Mike Miles.
It sounds like
we know who you are.
Come get me, boy.
I ain't getting you. You're a fucking pedophile. I'll put your head through a fucking wall.
Okay.
Listen, tomorrow night I'm going to have a show again. So tune
awesome.
In. God bless everybody.
Shut
up,
you old fuck. You old fool.
Ken, you got to get rid of these trolls, man.
Yeah, for the
sir,
fucking...
I don't
know.
You
got to
get rid of the
yeah,
kid
you're getting trolled bad.
Sir,
hey, me and the other guy there talking, we're normal guys. You know that.
Ken, I've,
these
I,
other
I,
guys
I've
are like
you...
trolls.
Sir, I'm not just
boys.
A guy. I'm a sheriff of the Pennsylvania Highway Patrol.
No,
you
you're not.
Pennsylvania. Yes, I am. You need to come outside in your front lawn. We're outside.
Yeah.
You need to stop acting crazy.
I don't think
crazy.
You want to do that.
You need to stop acting crazy. You fucking idiot.
Crazy. I'm fucking crazy.